Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan and Nick here. We couldn't be blessed by the Sheikh's presence today. He is still in Dubai, but for the time being, you're rocking with us. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? Take care of the housekeeping real quick. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. All right, Nico, it's the Daniel Jones episode. So as some of you might have deduced from my tweets yesterday, I had a 17-hour drive from Florida all the way back to New York yesterday. And in the car, I did it with my dad. Do a little switch back and forth. I drive, he drives. And from basically noon to three, I'm sitting there in the passenger seat, feverishly thumb swipe down, refreshing for the news. Selfishly sort of hoping that the franchise tag would have been placed on Daniel Jones. But here we are with a 4-year contract with $82 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. And I have to say, I am quite pleasantly surprised that I love this contract, despite it starting with the AAV and the starting number with 4, which I think, you know, across the board here, between you, me, and Weiss, we're not particularly in favor of, especially with the leverage that Joe Shane had with the franchise tag at his disposal. I still really like this deal, man. I think it's a great contract. I have to be happy for Daniel Jones, happy for Brian Daboll. And at the end of the day, listen, congrats to Joe Shane for negotiating his first big deal as general manager of the New York Giants. So I think there's a lot of angles that we can attack the contract with. The first one that I'm going to start with is the non-financial angle, sort of the EQ angle of the contract, and why, after thinking about it more and more and more, I'm really in favor of it. If you look around the league at some of the personalities that play quarterback, the number one topic for the last 2 months has been how much peyote and ayahuasca is Aaron Rodgers going to do before he comes to a decision. You got Deshaun Watson up in Cleveland, who is a serial sexual predator. You just look around the league, and there are these guys, you sort of scratch your head, and I guess you sort of have to be a bit of a wacky, crazy genius and maybe a complete sicko to want to play the quarterback position in the NFL. But at the end of the day, Daniel Jones is not a headache. He is the very prototypical blue-collar, sort of boring, put-your-head-down, grind-out-wins type of guy. And I know that that's the kind of guy that John Mara likes. It's very obviously the type of guy that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll like. And it is a kind of guy that I think the average Giants fan likes and appreciates, not a lot of these guys who cause headaches. Daniel Jones came into the season basically a dead man walking. We're not going to exercise your fifth-year option. You are basically a placeholder, barring some sort of miracle. After this year, we hope that you play well enough that another team comes along and says, okay, we've seen enough. I'm going to see you out. You're on your way, and that's it. And Joe Shane can sort of go ahead and draft his guy. And we saw that in the very beginning of the season. Weeks 1 and weeks 2, where was Joe Shane on Saturday? Joe Shane was watching C.J. Stroud in Ohio State. He was watching Will Levis from Kentucky. He was watching Anthony Richardson in Florida. Joe Shane didn't exercise the fifth-year option and basically came into the year like, okay, who's going to be my quarterback next year? Because it's not going to be this guy. And you have to just appreciate that he put the team on his back at points, mostly towards the end of the season. And he proved, despite the doubters in the building, despite me, a doubter, despite a lot of the doubters in the fan base, hey, I can do this and I'm going to fucking prove it to you guys, despite the lack of belief everywhere. And from just a peer-to-peer, person-to-person on an emotional level, you have to respect that. Like an against-all-odds story, he was a dead man walking. The writing was on the wall. They were going to show him the door at the end of the season, and that was it. And he gave them every reason to doubt themselves and bring him back. All right, that's number one. Number two, all year, we have praised Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. Joe Shane for having financial literacy when it comes to NFL contracts, for understanding team building, for understanding draft capital and draft value. All year, we praised him for the coaching staff that he put together. Brian Daboll was probably one of the most coveted head coaching candidates. And not only that, both of his coordinators were taking head coach jobs down to the wire. We were shitting our pants, right?
Yeah.
Negan, Walking Dead. You have your shitting pants on because it's pants shitting time. We were all sitting here shitting our pants after the amazing year the Giants had that they were going to lose not just one, but both of their coordinators. So, you know what? Comes in here and I say, you know what? I don't like the hire. I think he's a schmuck. He doesn't know what he's doing, but I'm going to give him whatever. Let's let him work. Unfortunately for him, he ruined that opportunity the first chance he got, because as soon as he took a running back second overall, we all knew that this guy was in way over his head. He was arrogant. He's a piece of shit. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka, shout out to Brandon Brown, assistant GM, Wink Martindale. None of these guys have given us fans any reason to doubt them. And until they do, I'm going to trust their judgment. Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are the guys in the building working with Daniel Jones day in and day out, depleted wide receiver core, trying to shape the offense around him, and they made the playoffs. So, pardon me, but I'm not going to be completely reactionary. Call that maturity. I'm a father now. I'll save my reactionary takes for the New York Islanders, not the New York Giants. But as it pertains to the Giants, these guys have given no reason to be doubted. So I'm going to trust them. Number three, the money. The money is really not that bad. I know the AAV starts with a four. There are a few things that we have to take into account. One, the cap hit this year is only $19 million. I know we as fans, we like to be reactionary. I just touched on it. We still don't know the full details of the contract. I even texted Jordan this morning because I figured like, oh, I was driving, you know, maybe I missed something. No, we still don't know what the bonuses are. We don't know what the incentives are. And we don't know what the dead cap hit's going to be if they want out of this deal after year three. After year two, going into year three, if the Giants want out, they can get out.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the dead money is going to be, but there are two things we have to keep in mind. One, the books are not healthy right now. Mm-hmm. That's sort of why this was never going to be a 1 or 2 year process, right? Year one, let's draft. We're going to try to coach these guys up. We're going to see what we got. Year two, we're going to clean up the mess left by Gettleman and co. That's where we are right now. You look at the books. Adoree Jackson, who has played incredibly well. We spoke about this a few episodes ago. I'd love them to extend him to lower his cap hit. The Leonard Williams conundrum.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a cap casualty entirely, or are they going to extend him, convert some money to bonuses, lower his cap hit? We still don't know what they're going to do there. They have to extend guys. Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, we have to keep that in mind. Xavier McKinney, these are guys whose extensions are coming up. But you get the cap in a healthy spot this year. So if you decide to move on after year two, going into year three, even if you do have to eat a lot of dead money, two things. One, the cap is going to skyrocket in 2025. It's going to go up significantly. Where even if the dead cap money now looks bad, in 2 years, we may be looking at it like, okay, it's palatable. We can eat that. And two, if you are moving on from Daniel Jones after year two, chances are the team probably fucking sucks. And,
yeah,
if the team sucks, you're going to be drafting a quarterback fairly high, or at least trying to, in which case you're going to be on the rookie contract schedule once again. So you can eat the dead money for a year. It's really not that bad. So those are my thoughts. I know I just rambled a lot, Nick. I do really enjoy when you chime in, and now it's your turn to speak. But from where I'm sitting, it's really tough for me to be upset about it, especially looking at the other options out there.
You called an ISO. You waved your arm. You said, clear out. I'm taking this to the hole. Yeah. I'm taking this to the hole. Initially, the sticker price was like, what are they doing? Because we had all been under the assumption that the Giants number was 37, 38, somewhere in that ballpark, up to 41. Okay. The most important thing is what you said. You can get out after two. If it goes really bad within the next 2 years, you get out after year two, minimal commitments going forward. But the biggest thing for me about why I've come around to where you were, because originally I still don't really buy that Jones can be much better than he's been, even with better talent around him, etc., just based on what you've seen from him so far. But the reason I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt is this is like Dable and Shane saying, this is our boy. He's good. We're good for him. We're vouching for him. Because you would not be giving him $41 million a year if you think his ceiling is what you got out of him last year. If you think this is an investment, this is a year or two from now, he would be getting $48, $50 million, kind of what Weiss was saying a few weeks ago. This is an investment under the assumption that we're going to be able to get a lot more out of this guy once we fix the mess that's around him. And because they've structured this deal in a way where his first-year cap hit's only $19 million, they're going to be able to put more talent around him right out of the gate and get a better understanding of just how high that ceiling can get. So that way, in 2 years from now, when it's time to decide, okay, are we going to go forward with Daniel or are we going to look in another direction? You've got a fair understanding. Because coming into this year, we all thought he was screwed because this roster was bad on paper. Objectively, the Giants roster was really bad on paper. It massively overperformed its talent. And because of that, we're all sitting here kind of looking around like, okay, let's see what happens now.
Right.
That's the fun part of this is there's really no way to know until it happens. Like, they're going to draft, hopefully, well, to get some guys around him, give him a better chance to succeed. And if he hits that 3,800, 4,000-yard passing mark or gets closer to 1,000 yards rushing, or he can break that 30-touchdown plateau. Like, I know the stat that was floating around. I think it was Warren Sharp who said Daniel Jones is the only guy in the history of the NFL to get a multi-year extension who's played more games than thrown touchdowns, which, like, at face value is a kind of ridiculous stat, but at the same time, you got to think about the context of that. He was playing in a Jason Garrett offense. He was playing in a Pat Shurmur offense behind a god-awful offensive line.
Joe Judge.
Joe Judge, a war criminal. Like Weiss has said, we've put people in Guantanamo Bay for less.
Then what you also have to take into account, he ran for 700 yards and had some ones with his legs. So listen, I mean, it's like the same people who were clamoring for Lamar Jackson just seemingly wants.
Oh, I wanted that. Yesterday, when it was 3:30 and we still didn't have a resolution if he was getting tagged or not, I was fully, all right, let's get Lamar. Let's get Lamar. Fuck it. Let's get nuts. That dude is different.
He is different. Listen, I don't understand the hate. Maybe we can talk about his situation a little bit once we're done with Danny. But I agree with you. And the people who hate Daniel Jones, like truly hate and think
they're never going to come around.
Oh, they're never going to come around. But at the same time, like the cap situation is going to be good enough next year where if you really think that this guy sucks as bad as he does and the Giants are going to be in the running for a Caleb Williams next year or a Drake May, then they're going to take him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also have to consider that you don't get many chances to be an executive. You don't get many chances to be an executive in the NFL. And I think that there are some rare circumstances where it's like the Trader Joe's everything but the bagel seasoning, everything but the quarterback. That's what Joe Douglas is. Joe Douglas is everything but the quarterback. Where if you do a good enough job and you build a good enough roster, you're probably gonna be afforded a mulligan on the quarterback if you fuck it up as bad as he did. And I still think he's wading into dangerous waters with the Aaron Rodgers thing, but I digress. Like Joe Shane, who was willing and ready to replace Daniel Jones and draft a quarterback this year, believes in this guy. Brandon Brown believes in this guy. Brandon Brown, assistant GM, former Eagles executive, under the tutelage of Howie Roseman, believe.
Can I play devil's advocate for a second? Because I saw people discussing this. A few people laid on the point. I saw more than one person say, do the Giants want to be the Vikings? Do they just want to have a slightly above average quarterback where they'll win a lot of regular season games, but they're never going to win anything? And somebody in the replies to that said, well, after the last 5 years, a lot of Giants fans will sign up to be an 11-win regular season team and get into a bunch of coin flip playoff games where if shit goes bad, shit goes bad. Because we've been at the dregs of the earth. The Giants have been the dregs of the earth for 5 years now. So some sustained regular season success, that's not like an awful thing right now. Like in 5 years, if they've only won like a playoff game or two, then we can discuss, hey, maybe they didn't raise the ceiling enough. But right now they need franchise stability. And the biggest indicator of that is they're getting the books in order because the books have been a mess for way too long.
Oh, well, let me phrase it this way for you. And this is courtesy of our good friend Ryan Bisdier. The Giants are not entering their Vikings era. They're entering their Chiefs era. Because the Chiefs rocked with Alex Smith for how long?
Yeah.
For 9, 10, 11 wins until they finally were like, okay, you know what? Like, they have their phenomenal head coach in place. They've got phenomenal executives. And they're like, okay, like, this guy is really good. We're going to win games. He's going to give us a chance. And maybe there's going to come a day where we get to the point where we realize the ceiling is the ceiling and we need to replace him. So for every Vikings era, there is a Chiefs era. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Giants are going to go out and find their Mahomes in a year or two. What I'm saying is they have stability at the position. They have phenomenal talent on the sidelines, holding clipboards, and in the executive offices. Like, if they deem that the ceiling is not high enough, look at where these guys come from. Like, Kafka comes from Kansas City. He understands the importance of having a quarterback like Mahomes, whose ceiling is the greatest of all time.
He's the roof. The ceiling is the roof.
Dable, Shane, and Tierney, like, they come from Buffalo. They understand the importance of having a quarterback with a high ceiling in Josh Allen. Brandon Brown comes from the Eagles. He understands the importance of having a quarterback who's got the ceiling of Jalen Hurts. Like, these guys know what it takes. I have to talk about this. People saying like, oh, like, this is classic John Mara. No, this is not John Mara meddling. John Mara meddling would have been exercising the fifth-year option. Okay? This is Shane and Dable's team. It is. They run the show here. They have proven it from day one. This is not John Mara meddling. They genuinely believe that Daniel Jones gives them the best chance to win of the other options out there. And who's to tell them that they're wrong? They don't have a pick high enough to go out there and get Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, CJ Stroud, or Bryce Young. They don't. They simply don't. None of these guys are falling to 25. They don't have the draft ammo yet to trade up for one of these guys. And you don't, and with a team with so many holes, you don't want them using that draft ammo to trade up. All right? Are they going to go out there and get Derek Carr? No, thanks. I'd rather have Daniel Jones. Are they going to go out there and get a Geno Smith? No, thanks. I'd rather have Daniel Jones. Are they going to go out there and trade multiple firsts for Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be out of the league in 2 years and we don't even know where his mindset's at? Listen, if I could get Aaron Rodgers for just money, sure, but not for, you know, multiple high picks with the team in the state that it's in, no thank you. Like, the only maybe argument is Lamar, but then you're still giving up 2 first-round picks. And where is the rest of the team going to come from? You know, like, I think that definitely plays a part of it. And I think we'd be naive not to discuss it, you know, in terms of who the best option out there is. There's really no better option. And if Dave genuinely likes this guy, great.
This raises the floor. Right now, it is about setting up institutional, foundational strength for an extended period of time. To your point about this maybe being the Chiefs era, you got to get everything in order around the quarterback before you can determine if your quarterback is your guy or not yet.
Sure.
You would like to see flashes, which Jones has given you instances, glimmers.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis game, the Minnesota game, he gave you flashes of, oh, if we give this guy a real offense around him, and we play to his strengths, he can take over a game in spurts. He can't do it the same way some of the other guys in the league can, but he can do it in flashes, which
makes
it better.
Richardson look like a competent slot receiver.
Yeah. If you can get enough flashes, that's better than what a lot of people have at the quarterback position.
Absolutely.
Right now, you look at that NFC South, where Carr is the best quarterback on paper, the NFC West, where the best quarterback is Brock Purdy, Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
you know, Baker Mayfield, maybe Baker Mayfield.
Look at the NFC South.
Yeah, that's the thing. And yes, eventually people will probably come to complain about Jones not being good enough. But But for right now, good enough is good.
I might be at the forefront of it.
Yeah, but for now, this is fine.
24 hours ago, I'm sitting there on my phone in the car being like, oh, man, it would be fucking awesome if they threw the non-exclusive tag on him and a team gave us two firsts so we could go get Caleb Williams next year. Like, that, like, believe me, I get it. Like, there are so many shiny toys out there that you sort of look at them and you're like, man, like, that guy's ceiling is higher than Daniel Jones, Caleb Williams. But listen, we're at where we're at.
I hate to make this comparison. This is exactly like dating in college. You go out, you're hanging out with your girlfriend. You like your girlfriend, but you're looking around and you're like,
I didn't have a girlfriend in college.
Well, you get what I'm saying. You get the point I'm trying to make. You're looking around and you're like, wait a minute, I could do better than this. But you love your girlfriend. You shouldn't leave something just because the potential for something is there. Unless you know something's there, don't go leaving potential. Don't leave for potential. You know what Daniel Jones is. You think you can get more out of Daniel Jones. You're going to figure it out. You might end up with someone else, but you're content with where you are right now. You love your girlfriend. Don't go fucking it up because maybe we could get something new. We could get Derek Carr. We can get 2 years of Rodgers. We can get Geno. We can roll the dice and trade up in the draft and give up a bunch of assets for somebody we hung out with once at a party for 6 minutes. That's what like Anthony Richardson is. Like
those were my kind of girlfriends.
Anthony Richardson, I don't know if you know this or not, Ethan, did not throw for more than 100 yards in 6 of his 11 games last year.
I'm aware, and I've also been made aware many times by the trolls on Twitter that he went 0-for-3 on simple out routes at the combine. But you know what? Yeah. His 6'4", 240 running.
Oh, no, he's a freak of nature.
He's a freak.
If he lands in the right spot, he's probably going to end up being a pretty good quarterback, but landing spot matters so much. And the Giants have the landing spot now. They've got the coach where guys will be like, I want to play for that guy. And they're going to organize the team, and they're going to have institutional strength where guys on the team will be like, you're going to want to come here. You are going to want to come play for this team because they're going to take care of you. This room will kill for each other in a way the last few Giant teams haven't. The last few Giant teams have rolled over when shit has gotten hard. When shit got hard for the Giants this year, they found a way in a lot of situations where in years past they would have rolled over and died.
I mean, do you ever hear anything negative coming out of it? Again, this is like sort of the Odell Beckham argument, which, by the way, Bubba, it's time to come home. Like, you know, people complain. Not a single teammate has ever had anything negative to say about Odell. Not a single teammate has had anything but positive things to say about Daniel Jones. Like, they genuinely seem like they like the guy.
Yeah. No, right? he's got the Frank the Tank energy where he's this quiet, mild-mannered guy. But once it hits his lips, it tastes so good, man.
That's perfect because he is a tank. He can drink. That boy can put it away, I've heard. I like that comparison way more than your college girlfriend one. So we clip that one. All right. So where do we go from here? I think right now we're just waiting for more exact contract details. And then from there, it's free agency time.
How do you feel about them tagging Saquon?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about this. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I actually think that that's the way to go. I think this is just the perfect example of someone overplaying their hand, where Saquon finally stayed healthy and was like, I want 14 to 16 million. And Joe Shane was like, brudda, you see what I was dealing with up in Buffalo? Mike Kafka. You see what they were paying their running backs over there? Brandon Brown. You see what the Eagles are paying their running backs? That ain't happening. So I think the rumor was he declined a $12.5 million a year deal, which still, like, I would not give that to him. And I hope that they don't extend him any term.
Yeah, no, that you got to play this as carefully as you possibly can. Running back is the most fragile position in football.
Dude, this draft, by the way.
Oh, there's a lot of value.
Listen, not to go off on a little tangent, but I traded away so many of my draft picks in Dynasty this past season to try to go for it. Fucking came in third. But this is a great year to have, like, second third round picks with the running backs. Holy cow, dude.
There's a lot of volume.
Running backs
in this draft. The Giants need to draft the running back in this draft somewhere in round probably 3 or 4. Yeah. They need one more guy. They absolutely
need Charbonnet. I'm a Charbonnet stan.
I like Charbonnet. I liked him at Michigan, and then he went to UCLA, and they built the entire offense around the power run. Yeah. Thompson Robinson. Yeah. I like Charbonnet. There's a few guys who I think could be very interesting for the Giants, but they played this right. You can go committing to the running back without clarity on what he's going to look like. You think about what happens. I mean, there's the spreadsheet that gets tweeted every single time a running back signs an extension. Yep. There's the spreadsheet of every single Super Bowl winning team and Super Bowl teams, the two teams in the Super Bowls running.
Well, even the Titans are looking to trade Derrick Henry now. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's the poster boy for like the counter argument of why you should pay a running back. And even they're like, okay, it's time.
A running back can't raise your team's ceiling. It can be an accentuation point. It's like the cherry on the sundae, but it's not going to drastically change your team's outcome. The running back is so dependent on everything that's around them. I'm glad they're going to have at least one good skill position guy on the team next year. But going forward, that argument should go away because that was the argument everybody has had for a while now about why the Giants need to keep him and give him term is there's nobody else on the team. Well, as they build out this team over the next year or two, there will be wide receivers, other running backs to make it so, it wasn't just Saquon. It was the guys knowing how to use the players in the offense, which is something Giants fans haven't had in a long time. As they build out this offense and they get the personnel to play in the style that Dable and Kafka would like to play, then you can see what they'd really like to be. You saw it down the stretch when they let Jones sling it in those games where they needed to let him. That's the ideal offense in today's NFL. You need to be throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game if you really want to score enough points to win against the good teams. Yeah, there are games where you have to be able to run the ball, but running the ball should be a complement to what you're trying to do. It really is hard to win as a run-first team in today's NFL because it's so dependent on situational factors as opposed to you being good at what you do. That's not to say Saquon's not good. He is good, but he can only do so much based on what's happening around him.
Yeah, agree 100%. So I hope the tag is the most we'll see because I do not want to pay this guy and I don't want term. And it just doesn't seem like something this regime would do. So that's that.
Rodgers, Lamar, anything you want to get in?
Oof, man. The Jets. I get it. I do think that Rodgers...
Douglas is going for his job here. This is it. He doesn't want to roll the dice on another one of the questions. He thinks he gets Rodgers in there, they make the playoffs, he gets at least one more year. That's really all it comes down to.
The life cycle of a Packers quarterback is very similar to the life cycle of a Jew in the Northeast. We grow up on Long Island or in Westchester. We go to college, we graduate college, we live in the city for a few years, we move back to the suburbs, and then we retire in Florida. You're a Packers quarterback, you're disgruntled, you play, you win a Super Bowl, you get old, and then you go to the Jets. That's basically what it is.
When does he commit welfare fraud? What year is that from now?
We still have another 10 years, I think. So, listen, I get it. It just makes me nervous. He's clearly the most talented option available outside Lamar. It just, like, where's his head at, man? Like, this guy does drugs, and he goes on darkness retreats, and he hosts Jeopardy, and he just didn't look that great this past season. Obviously, he's going to have way more help with the Jets, and they're a more complete team, in my opinion. It just makes me nervous. If that's where he goes, God bless him. I've been a Rodgers fan my whole life. I really love him. Just from a pure talent perspective, I think he's one of the more talented quarterbacks I've ever watched until Mahomes recently. But I would be nervous as a Jets fan that, you know, he comes in and just the house of cards collapses. What about you?
Oh, I cannot wait. I, for one, am very excited because I hope this happens. All of my Jet fan friends their entire lives have been complaining about them not having a quarterback. The peak of being a Jets fan for people in my age bracket was making two AFC title games.
Yep.
I still remember there was a kid in ninth grade who literally got Jets in the side of his fade with a Jet in it on the Thursday, the Friday before the AFC title game, he came to school with that in the side of his head. I vividly remember this. They've been begging for a quarterback basically their entire lives. They all talk about how Ryan Fitzpatrick has the fucking team record for touchdown passes in a season. They are all desperately begging for this guy. I hope they get it. I know a lot of my friends would like Lamar. I would rather the Jets get Lamar. That would be a lot more fun. But if they don't have the money to give him the 50-by-5 deal that he clearly is asking for. Oh, and one thing on Lamar before we wrap up here. Where are you at on guys not having their own agent? Because Bomani talked about this on his show on Friday, and I think he made the best point you possibly can. You need an agent because you can't go into work negotiating for yourself and call your boss a motherfucker. Your agent to go into the air and be like, what are you motherfuckers talking about? That's why you need to have an agent representing you, because you are the, if you're representing yourself, there are things you cannot say back to your boss, and your boss will say bad things to you because it is a negotiation.
Yeah.
You are only setting yourself up for limiting your negotiating potential. How often are you an agent? Twice a year, once a year? Your agent's full-time job is to be an agent. If you don't have an agent, you're not setting yourself up for success.
Yeah. I mean, you simply, like, I don't care like who you are, like what industry you work in. Like, it's always good to have someone who can advocate for you within the organization that you work for or work with. I can understand it from a player's perspective where, you know, you don't want to have to give commission to your agent, or it's like this player empowerment type of thing. Like, look, man, I can do it all. I can play quarterback and I'm a business mastermind. But in situations like this, you need an agent. He's only hurting himself, and I'm a huge Lamar fan, so I hope it gets done. But it's very clear that there's been some sort of ownership collusion against him in these negotiations, because Jimmy Haslam is a piece of shit who decided to give another piece of shit unlimited guaranteed money in his contract, and it hasn't worked out for him. And I think the owners are scared, and they don't want it headed in that direction from their perspective, understandably so. But it makes no sense to me that half the teams in the league that are going to be vying for a quarterback or using the first this year on a quarterback wouldn't want Lamar Jackson on their team. It makes no sense. So there is some type of collusion going on.
The one landing spot I saw someone suggest for Lamar that I think would be so much fun is Detroit.
Yeah, man.
That team is kind of ready. You get Lamar on that team with a healthy Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra and Swift and that offense.
Jamal Hines.
That would be a lot of fun. I know I saw more than one Atlanta Falcons fan tweet, I'm going to kill myself yesterday. When the Falcons immediately, like as soon as it was like, oh, they're putting the non-exclusive tag. And 10 minutes later, Arthur Blank was like, no, absolutely not. It just, yeah, like you said, I don't know if it's like an agreed to, like we got to crack down on this before the money gets out of control thing, or if that's just the market correcting itself. But that's very clearly what's going on here, is all of the owners looking around and being like, we can't do that. If we do that now, every quarterback is going to ask for that.
And it makes no sense. Even for me, obviously, like I think Detroit's a good landing spot. It makes no sense why the Falcons wouldn't want to bring the Atlanta boy home. What about the Panthers?
Yeah.
The Panthers, who now have, who's their head coach?
Oh, Frank Reich.
Reich. Okay. I thought it was Reich, but for some reason I had it in my head that he was like their offensive coordinator. No, like, dude, Reich, who's renowned outside of the past disasters in Indy as like a good quarterback coach, and David Tepper, who we've learned on this podcast has brass balls on his desk. Why wouldn't he want to do that to a division rival and basically offer sheet their quarterback, pay him a gazillion dollars for a guy as competitive as he is? That makes no sense. There's something going on here.
Yeah, it sucks because Lamar has an MVP. Like, I know it was 3 years ago, but this dude's one of the 10 guys. This is one of the 10 guys where he will make your team better just by showing up. There are not a lot of those guys in the sport. It's why the Giants are very happy to have, like, the 14th best guy, because the bottom 18 of those are not great. When you're in that tier of the Baker Mayfields and the Derek Carrs and Kirk Cousins, and like Jones is in that group, but he's towards the top of that group.
Yeah.
Once you start getting towards the bottom of that group, that's where you end up where you're like the Jets, where you can have a really good team around you, but if you don't have a quarterback who can throw for 200 yards a game, you're not going to win in today's NFL.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it, man. There's something going on.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Daniel Jones is the Giants quarterback. Deal with it one way or the other.
Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. You know the deal. We're everywhere. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And we'll talk to you guys soon before free agency.
See ya.